The message tonight that I want to share is, or before I tell you a little bit about that, I just want to have a very short repetition from yesterday. The key verse we talked about yesterday, we talked about the title was An Outworking of His Will. And the key verse was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, already prepared that you may walk in them." I don't know it. I know it better in Norwegian by heart, but that's the essence of what it says. Powerful verse. God has a specific plan for us. And a key quote that we read, which kind of, I think, quite well summarize. I shared many testimony stories of how I've seen God lead in my life. And we had a living example of something already yesterday, I think, fitted well to the message. But this quote, powerful quote, we kind of continue the thought where we left it yesterday, so it's nice to recap it shortly. Powerful quote from the Desire Readers, page 206. Here it says, "So utterly was Christ emptied of self that he made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him, and day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will." Powerful quote. This is how God wants us to live, that our lives may be as outworking of his will. So basically, what I am going to talk about tonight is how can our lives be an outworking of his will? How can our lives be an outworking of his will? And it's late, we have had a long day, so I will not... It will be shorter than yesterday, what I will share. I will promise you that. Though usually, or many times actually, if I say this will be the last text or this or that, it always have a tendency to come something more. I think tonight it will be shorter. I am pretty certain about that. But I think maybe I said something yesterday and then it ended up sharing a little bit more than planned. I guess one reason for that is you have this saying that I like. I think it's a good way that you have this saying that we should, you know, when it comes to preaching, we should prepare as though there is no Holy Spirit. I partly agree with that, but the saying in total kind of makes a point that I like. We should prepare as though there were no Holy Spirit, and we should preach as though we have not prepared. In other words, we should do everything we can in preparation. It's not like we shouldn't prepare and stand up and just say what comes into our mind. But still, I think it's important to also be open for the Spirit's guidance as we share something, as we preach, as we witness, whatever. So I try to follow that as I'm serving and preaching and sharing the word. But still, I think it will be shorter tonight. We've had a long day, so I think God, it's important with rest. That's part of God doesn't lead against his principles. Anyway. So, so basically, it will be shorter tonight. And I plan what we will do, actually, is I will kind of start. I will share part of the message I had prepared tonight. And then we'll kind of look on the last part of it tomorrow. I have one more meeting tomorrow, so we'll kind of continue by then. So I think that's a better way to do it than try to put everything in one message. And it's actually quite interesting how it happened, how I got to prepare this message. It was last week. That's when I prepared most of the message. I've been thinking about it before. And the thing was, you know, this week I've had many meetings here, yeah, and we'll have one tonight and one tomorrow, and then I go straight up to Living Water Summer Camp, where I will have share 5 messages the next few days, and then I will be home for a week where I will work 4 days for my apprenticeship, as well as move out from my apartment and prepare for Impact Norway the week after, where I will share like 10 messages, and pretty much all of the messages are different. And so it's very busy weeks right now, and the easy thing for me to do here would have been to choose another message than I'm sharing tonight. And I could easily have done that. Many messages, you know, some I would present next week and whatever in the next few days that I think are powerful and important messages. But I don't know. I asked, when I teach or preach, I don't just want to share a sermon. I don't just want to share a good sermon, a powerful sermon. I want to share what God wants me to share. So I was thinking and praying about what to share. And I felt impressed to, though I, in a way, didn't really have the time to still prepare this message instead of taking another message. So actually what happened was last week, was it, I think it was Wednesday, I actually woke up very, I prayed, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, I said, hey man, I don't have time to prepare all this, but I kind of sensed that God wanted me to share something along these lines, but I wasn't sure how I would manage to prepare it. But I prayed, you know, that God would lead me, whatever, help me to prepare whatever he wants me to share, and I prayed, you know, I like to pray sometimes in the night, you know, whatever God may make me up, you know, next morning. It's not like usually I have an alarm, but if he wants me to maybe go up a little earlier, you know, he can maybe wake me up. And next morning, it can be a little scary prayer to pray. Next morning, actually, I woke up around 2 o'clock. That's usually I go to bed early, and I usually go up like 4:45. I start working pretty early, so I have to start the day early, but still not that early. But I woke up at this time. Not only that, I felt inspired to, sometimes, you know, in the morning I really sense that God lead my thoughts and put things together. So basically the whole message, basically most of the message in that morning before I went to work, most of the message I prepared in that time, and I felt that God was leading. And so I trust that he has something that he wants us to take from this message that we can, yeah, that can draw us closer to him and his plan for our lives. Okay, so that's a little introduction. Let's have a short prayer before we get into the message, the first part of the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for we can come together. Thank you that you are a God that wants to speak to us. And we just pray that you may lead with your spirit, impress our hearts, speak to us, help us to understand and receive what you have in store for us, the blessing you have in store for us tonight and tomorrow. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There was this couple that they were getting married, and as they were getting married, they had some friends that came together and decided to give them a nice wedding gift, yeah? They decided to pay for this very nice, what do you call it, suite, this very nice room in a hotel that they could spend their wedding night together. So they paid for this luxurious suite, you know, this luxurious place, hotel room. And so this couple, they were told about this beforehand, you know, and they looked forward to this nice place, this nice time they would have in this hotel right after getting married. And what happened was that they came to the hotel, the wedding was over, you know, and they went there, and they came to the right floor, to the right door, and they looked forward to go in, you know, they had their expectations, they looked forward to see this great, expensive, luxurious place, yeah. But as they went in there in this room, they did so only to be terribly disappointed. It was nothing like they had imagined, you know. It was quite small. And yeah, sure, they had some things there. They had a sofa there. They had some things, you know. But they're like, it was nothing like they had imagined. They thought, man, is this a luxurious, most best room in this hotel? Like, they couldn't really understand it, and they were a little irritated and disappointed. But they said, okay, well, it wasn't like we expected, but I guess we just have to do the best out of it. And, you know, they had a sofa or something. They had something somewhere they could sleep and whatever. So they just did the best out of it. And but the next morning, they came down to the reception of the hotel, and you know, they got to talk with some of the workers there, and they came to share that they were not very happy. They were very unhappy with this luxurious room in the hotel. But the owner, the leader of the hotel, he couldn't understand. He's like, what weren't you happy with this room? You know, like for him, it didn't make sense. You know, so what was it that you wasn't happy with? Like he didn't really understand. So maybe we can go up together and you can show me what you didn't like. Or so they say, sure. And they went back to the room and they went into the room and they open up and he said, hey, see, is this a luxury? You know, this is nothing like we had expected. This isn't very nice, you know. But then the leader of this hotel, this manager, he went over to the other side of the room, and there he opened this door that had the same color like the car, you know, what you have, the wallpaper or whatever, and he opened this door into this big, luxurious, really nice hotel suite, this really nice room. They had spent their night in the foyer, in the hall of this nice room. And I think this, in a way, is a good illustration. I think many times as Christians, we stop in the foyer when God really has so much more in store for us. In our prayer life, many times we stop in the foyer, but God wants so much more. In our Bible studies, we stop in the foyer, but God has so much more He wants us to get out of it. In our Christian experience, as a church, too many times we stop in the foyer, but God has something so much better that He longs to give us, that He longs to pour out His blessings, His Spirit on us. Now, what I want to share today and tomorrow, so really a start, and some of the things we'll look at quite briefly. But I thought about 9 things that I want to mention. Some we'll spend a little more time on, but some we'll quite briefly go over. 9 keys, you could say, for how our lives could be an outworking of His will. And I believe it's a big topic. You could say much more. It's in a way, how can our life be an outworking of His will? In a way, it's how to live the Christian life. In a way, all the Bible could be included in this topic. So a lot could be said, but I just want to share 9 keys which I think are very important and, yeah, that play a very important role in our life being an outworking of God's great and grand will for our lives. So the first one is quite simple but very important, so I just want to share a few words on that one. And that is, number one, we must believe it is possible. We must believe it is possible. We must believe that God has us. We talked about, you know, an outworking of His will. Talked about how God had a specific plan for our lives. We must believe that God has a specific plan for our lives. We must believe that He will guide us. We must believe that He has a plan, not only for the big things, but also for the small parts of our lives. That He has a specific plan, right? We read many verses yesterday. We read how in Psalm 139, right, how it says that in His book, all the days of our life is recorded before we were born. You know, God has a plan for every day, for every year, for every month, for every day. We must believe that He has a specific plan. We read some other verses, you know, of how He, you know, because the thing is, God definitely has a plan. But sadly, too many times, we don't believe that as Christians, and we do not really seek to follow and find and adhere to the plan as we should. But God definitely has a specific plan for our life. God definitely wants to and will lead us when we seek Him with our whole hearts, as it says in Jeremiah. You know, we read some verses yesterday, Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. God wants to guide us. God wants to lead us. We read from Proverbs chapter 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God wants to lead us not only in the ways of our lives, but also in the paths, in big decisions, in small decisions. God has promised to lead us as we seek Him with our whole heart. Another quote, powerful quote that I want to read is from the Desire of Ages. Before we read, you know, the thing is, if we don't believe that He has a specific plan, we will not follow that specific plan. It's very important that we believe and seek Him for guidance in our decisions, in every day of our life. You know, we don't reach higher than we aim. In order to reach high, we need to aim high. You know, Peter would never have walked on water if you didn't believe it was possible to walk on water. You know, it's very important that we believe that God has a specific plan. Now listen to this powerful quote. It's from the Sirevedas, page 668. We'll read only the jello part. The whole quote is very good, but we'll only read the jello part here. Here it says, "He is well pleased, God is well pleased when we make the very highest demands upon him, when we, that they may glorify his name. They may expect large things if they have faith in his promises." God wants us to expect large things. God wants so much more, I think many times, than what we experience in our Christian lives, than what we experience in our church. God wants so much more. It's time to move out from the foyer into the great things God has in store for us. So number one, we must believe it is possible. We must believe that God has already prepared good works for us. We are his workmanship, and he will lead us into prepared plans and great things that he wants to use us for in this world. Number two is also crucial, also essential. It's kind of a condition. That is, we need a full and continual surrender, a full and daily surrender to God, to be able to have, in order for our lives to be an outworking of his will for our lives. If not, it can never be an outworking of his will. If we don't have a full and continual surrender, actually, in fact, we can't be Christians. We can't really be Christians without that. Sure, we can call ourselves Christians, you know, but Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So without this, we can't live a Christian life. We can call ourselves Christians, we can have knowledge about the Bible, we can go to church every week, we can pay tithe, but without a full and continual surrender, we are not living a Christian life, and our lives cannot be an outworking of his will. Our life can't be, we can't receive the great blessings that God has in store for our lives. Just a few verses on this. You know, it says in the verse we just read, right? "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We need a full surrender. That's a condition for God to lead us in every step, in every decision. Another quote, I think we read this yesterday, it's a powerful quote, one of my favorite quotes, because, you know, as I said, so many decisions I had to take the last year, you know, in average once a year I had to decide what to do next and many other decisions, and I've always claimed this beautiful promise in the Sirevedas, the same page as we just read, actually. It says, "Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before him, just what course to pursue." But see, the condition here is that we decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God. Right? If we decide that we want to follow God in everything, that's when we have the promise that he will show us exactly what he wants us to do. He will lead us at every step. "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart," Jeremiah wrote. So this is essential. This is crucial. Full and continual surrender. I believe this is generally our problem. You know, many times we don't really see the power of prayer. We don't really see answers to our prayers. Many times we feel that our prayers may be stopping the sailing of the roof. Why? One of the conditions of prayer we read in Psalms, you know, is full surrender. That we have no iniquity in our hearts. You know, that we are fully surrendered to God. That's a condition for powerful prayer, for answered prayers. I believe this is the problem many times, that we are not so blessed and invigorated by Bible studies, by studying the Word of God as we should. You know, because that we don't really feel and sense that he speaks to us as he wants to do. You know, because if you fail to surrender and follow the light he has given us, he doesn't give us new light usually when it's bestowed upon us. So this is very important. This is really the core of our problem many times, that our lives are not an outworking of his will as it should have been. You know, many times we are not able to discern God's will in our lives and to sense his guiding steps because this is not in place as it should. Full surrender, full and continual surrender. This is a crucial part of our problem that hinders our life to be what God envisions it to be. But you know, if you want your life, if you want your Christian life to be what God wants it to be, in order to have a great, total, sweet experience, yeah, in our Christian life, we must not stop in the foyer. We must live a life of full and continual surrender. And you know, the quote I read earlier this morning, one of my favorite quotes, right? Those who in everything make God first and last and best are the happiest people in the world. Message to Young People, page 38. So this is the key to the Christian life and to the best life we could ever live. Of course, when we follow God unreservedly, we will live the best life we could ever live. So number three I want to share a little bit about is we need to live a life of unceasing prayer and fasting in order for our lives to truly be an outworking of His will as He intends it to be. We need to live a life of unceasing prayer, not unceasing fasting, or in a sense, actually, a healthy lifestyle, you could say, it's a type of fast from things we shouldn't put into our bodies. But yeah, anyway, you know, you understand what I mean, I think. You know, those of you who have heard me preach before this event, maybe especially, I'm sure you have heard me talk about prayer. That's something I often talk about. And almost whatever I talk about, somehow I always say something about prayer. Why? Because I believe it's so important. It's very important. It's crucial. It's essential. And I still have a lot to learn. But I've learned one thing when it comes to prayer, and that is it's very important. It's crucially important. As it says, I'm just reminded of a powerful quote in Ministry of Healing. It says, we do not value the power and efficiency of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power in the world can accomplish. It's a powerful thing, important thing. It has played and it plays an important role in my life, and I've been very blessed by prayer myself. So this is very important. Now, I want to share an interesting story here. Tini Finley, age 70, it says here in Adventist Review article, finishes first marathon in 6 hours. I think, Pernille, you know her a little bit, or at least you met her, yeah. Met her in New York. This is the wife of evangelist Mark Finley. And it's quite interesting. This is earlier this year. It's a quite new thing. What happened was that she decided to run this marathon, first marathon in Celebration, Florida. And she did it to fundraise money for a project, a big project, a evangelism project that she and her husband is working on in Virginia, in Haymarket, Virginia. Basically, they are starting, she called it one of her most of their most exciting projects, and they have been in ministry for decades, experienced so many powerful things around the world. And they are starting a church and evangelistic training center there. And the plan is to raise $4 million, if I don't remember incorrectly, I think it's and in total, and they had already raised like $3.5 million at this point, and yeah, exactly. And through this race, the goal was to, was it like $100,000 or something? She, last time I checked, she got like $70,000 fundraised, people donated in connection with this race for this project, which is about, I looked it up, about 470,000 Danish crowns. So it's quite some money that she got for doing this race. And, you know, as she was running there, she ended actually, yeah, she ran in 6 hours, 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Anyone of you run a marathon before? No, you know how long it is, approximately? 42 kilometers. It's a long race, especially if you're 70 years old. But she ran it. And she ended actually number 3 in her age class. And Mark Finley told how, you know, scores of people were amazed in this interview, in this article, amazed by this 70-year-old woman running her first marathon in such a good physical condition. And, you know, he said that her prayer had always been that God, she wanted to do this for the glory of God. And it was interesting, early in the morning before this race, you know, they had to rise up very early to travel there and get ready. They prayed that God would give her extra energy for this race. And Tini Ernestine Finley, she quoted a promise in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon the wings like angels. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And they said that God was faithful. They gave her energy throughout the race. Now, shortly before the race began, Peter Landless, the health director of the general conference of our church, he called her. He knew about this race, and he called her. He wanted to give her an encouragement. So he told a powerful story to encourage her, or actually he called also to pray with her before the race. And he told about this little boy, a little boy that was running a long-distance race. And in this race, this boy, he was running and running and running, and he became tired. But he kept pushing on, you know. He kept pushing and pushing. His little legs, they were pumping, and his mouth was, as he was running, his mouth was moving as if he was talking to someone. And when he finished the race, you know, someone that had been looking at him as he was running there and moving his mouth, you know, they asked him, who are you talking to? You know, he was running there alone, but still he was talking. What is this? Who are you talking to? And he said, the little boy, he answered, I was talking to God. I was praying. So, well, Sam, what did you tell him? What did you pray about? I was praying, Lord, you lift them up. And I will let them down. You lift them up and I will let them down. And Mark Finley said, throughout the race, Tini, this story inspired her. Throughout the race, she prayed, Lord, you lift these legs of mine up and I will put them down. And they said, that's what he did. And I think it's a powerful story. By the way, you know, I think Tini and Mark, they are really cool. They are, you know, blues owners, real blues owners. They are healthy, strong. You know, he's 69, she's 7. He couldn't because of, I think, was it a knee or something? He couldn't run. But both of them are very healthy. And imagine they are planning. They have these big dreams now for the cause of God. They are not just retiring, sitting down. They are very active. God is using them powerfully. It's really cool. Good examples. But anyway, I think this story is a powerful example, powerful illustration that we can learn some spiritual lessons from. You know, in our Christian lives, we are truly dependent on God at every step. That He lifts our spiritual legs and moves them forward. You know, we can't, at every step, we truly need God. At every step, we need to live a life of unceasing prayer. We need God at every step. In Him we move and live and have our being. It says listen to this quote, it's from Review and Herald, November 10. It says here, 1885, I wish I could impress upon every worker in God's cause the great need of continual, earnest prayer. You know, we live in a battle between good and evil. We need to be connected with God every day. It says in Great Controversy, page 530, no man is safe for a day or an hour without prayer. And listen to this powerful quote. The mind should be kept in a prayerful flame, looking to Jesus moment by moment, asking at every step, is this the way of the Lord? This is the way Enoch walked with God. We are to be learners of one another and doers of the word of God. So the mind should always be in a prayerful frame. Ask step by step for God's help and for His guidance. And in order for our lives to be what God intends it to be an outworking of His will, this is how we need to live. Or to quote Paul in short, pray without ceasing. That's how he phrased it. Put it very short. I think too many times we take way too little time to pray. It's not like we always have to be on our knees, but We take too little time to pray. We don't, and too many times we don't know how to pray. And I think we are far away when it comes to pray for what God intended us to be. And it's actually a really powerful book that I would like to recommend on prayer. It came out this fall. It's called Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason. Really inspiring stories and also practical for a powerful prayer life. Daring to Ask for More, a powerful book, easy to read. Can order it, may easily find it on the internet. Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason. When it comes to fasting, even, you know, we almost don't know what it is, even less why should we do something like that. And no wonder, you know, when we don't have these things or so little of these things that we don't see more power in the church than we do. Anyway, I don't have time to really get into that, but it's also something God, that the Bible talks about, that I think God wants us to also do. And I think we'll that was number three. I think we'll, what time is it? Go on a little bit more, but not so much. Yeah. Or it's actually 9 o'clock already. Number three, number four. Questions. Should we take one more? Two, one. Getting tired. I think I can take one here that is very short, and I guess we'll stop there and continue tomorrow. That's number five. That is, I'm not saying much about it. I might say a little more about it tomorrow. We'll see how things come together. But number five, or number four in this case, is we must learn how to know God's will. We must learn how to know God's will. In order for our lives to truly be an outworking of God's will, and in order to be led into his already prepared good works, we need to learn the science of understanding God's will and how he reveals his will to us, how he leads us, how he speaks to us. And I think many times we are far from where we should be when it comes to discerning and understanding the will of God, discerning of how God, which, you know, when we take a decision, what decision does God wants us to take, you know. I think we have much to learn there, that in order to live to our lives as an outworking of God's will. You know, he has promised, as we read in this quote, right, Isaiah of Ages, page 668, he has promised that when we sincerely lay our case before him, he will show us, or we will know, just what course to pursue. He has promised, you know, also in James, right, James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom and pray, God will give liberally. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us. When we ask for his spirits, he will give it. He will lead us. He will guide us. But many times we don't experience, or too seldom we experience that God shows us exactly, that we see exactly what God wants us to do. I think an important reason for that is that we don't really know how to know God's will and discern how he wants to lead us and speak to us. I think we have things to learn, I believe, in this area. And that's a big topic in itself. My brother Christian, which is coming in tonight very soon, he will, I think, have a workshop about that later this week, where he will get more into that. So I think that's very definitely connected with this message and that I've been talking about. And I might mention a few things that I think we can learn from, that I've learned in my experience, tomorrow. But that's anyhow one important key as well, that we learn to know God's will. So to repeat shortly what we have looked about tonight, number one, we must believe it's possible to live our lives as an outworking of God's will, that he will really lead us and guide us, that he wants to do that, and that he will do that. Number two, see if you remember. We need a full and continual surrender to God in order for us to really have the hotel suite experience, right? To not stop in the foyer. We need full and continual surrender to God, that he really can lead us, you know, in order to be filled. You know, you have this thing that, you know, when it rains, where does the water go? Does it go up on the mountains? All the water gather up on the mountains when it rains. It goes down, right, to the deepest point. The more deep, the more we are putting self aside, the more we humble ourselves before God, the more God can fill us with His Spirit. Also electricity, right? I work with electricity. You know electricity? You know where it wants to go? It wants to take the way of least resistance. The less we resist, the more power, the more of His Spirit God can put into our lives. So full surrender is a key in order for our lives to be what God intends them to be. Number three, we talked about, is we need to live a life of unceasing prayer and fasting. Every step, we need God. Every day, every moment, our mind should be in a prayerful frame, that God will help us, give us strength, give us wisdom, whatever we do, that we pray that God, you know, we need God. We need to realize our dependence on God. You know, sometimes some people might think, you know, that prayer, you know, you talk about you need to pray, you need to do this and that. That's such a, what do you call it, yearning fokuserat, right? We focus on our works, right? But actually, it's the opposite, I think. When you think about it, it's the opposite. It's because we realize that we are nothing. We can't live a Christian life. We are so dependent on God that we need to seek Him for help at every step. We can't live a Christian life without unceasing prayer. We are dependent of God. In Him we move, live, and have our being. And the fourth point we looked at briefly is that we need to learn to know God's will, to learn the science of how to know God's will. And yeah, we'll continue tomorrow, look at some more things, some more keys, and close off this message. And let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have great plans for us, Lord. You want so much more, I believe, many times than you want to do more than we can think and imagine, it says in Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 3:20, through us, through the power that works in us. Lord, help us to put self aside truly, to let you fill us. You have said there is no limit to the usefulness of one, and by putting self aside makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart. If men will endure the necessary discipline without complaining or fainting by the way, God will teach them hour by hour and day by day. Sarvedes 2:50. Lord, help us to learn to walk with you so that we can receive the great blessing you have in store for us. Lord, give us strength at every step. Bless the night we have ahead of us and bless the rest of the activities this week. Lead us into your already prepared good works and draw us closer to you, Lord. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.